Yahweh is righteous.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is righteous. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is righteous. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is righteous. Yahweh is holy.
Who's this?
that, bust that, sell crack, who raps, but
they don't really know that, yeah.
My hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but don't see,
they don't really know about why.
Since the past, I just been hiring y'all's new employer, 2 week notice, I'm on Mangamora. It's the land of idolatry, wickedness and queers. In 2 weeks, you notice that I ain't here. They try to convince me and say that the job I get is better, whatever. My keeper vibes for me through any endeavors. Up to my stony heart, and it changes for meekness. So everybody try to take one kindness for weakness. They still convoying, saying you ain't gon' do that. Give him a couple months and he'll be right back. But I don't argue with no fool, keep my demeanor strictly cool. Maybe you'll understand if you just follow by the rules. Insubordination, the reason you stuck in the same station. So praise the mighty Yah, watch a wicked star decaying. But it's coming from me, so you know they gon' ignore it. Ignore it, it doesn't matter what day they'll meet my floor. Because my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see,
they don't really know about Yah.
New cars, new frames, no bout, home watch and chain, but
they don't really know about
Yah. Who's this, who's that, what's that, still crack, who raps, but
they don't really know about Yah.
My hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see,
they don't really know about Yah.
Come on, man. Okay, what's your name, man?
They don't really know about
God. Hear what y'all talking about. Man, I'm saying this all day, all night. We're gonna march out of Babylon saying,
they don't really know about God.
To the east, to the east, say,
they don't really know about God.
To the west, to the west, say,
they don't really know about God.
To the north,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Yah is righteous.
Yah is
holy.
And Yah is holy.
And let Yahweh be magnified.
Let Yahweh be magnified.
Well, that was some beautiful singing and praises to Yah. That's what we're supposed to do on the fourth commandment, the Shabbat. Now we're going to gather ourselves together, make sure the sanctuary is in order, so we can go into our next portion of today's Sabbath service. Well, it looks like we're ready, so we're going to go ahead and open up this next portion with a prayer. Hallelujah. Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come before thee once again on this holy Shabbat day that thou hast ordained before us. To praise you, to worship you, and honor you, for you're truly worthy. For all the praises, all the glory, all the honor and majesty, my Yah. For in 6 days thou hast made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. And thou hast rested even this day, blessed this day, and sanctified this day, and hallowed it. Thou hast even made this day a sign between thee and thy people, that we may know that thou art Yahweh, our Elohim, and hast sanctified us. So, my Yah, please continue to be with us on this great day. Please continue to bless us, bless the spiritual food and the physical food, that it may fulfill our souls, nourish us, and make us whole, that we may walk in a way that's pleasing in your sight. We love you. In the holy and righteous name we pray, hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Amen. And at this time, it's my pleasure and privilege to be able to call up our next Moray, who's been teaching in the House of Israel for over 25 years. He's co-founder of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference. He's an ordained minister, ordained by Yah under the ministries that was led by Moray Elisha. He's also your host of the radio blog broadcast that comes on every day now at 7 o'clock to 8:30. And the 6 nights, it comes on at 7 to 8:30 as well. He also happens to be my father, Moray Ishaya Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom.
Yah is righteous.
Yah
is holy.
And
let Yahweh be magnified. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Again, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. To all those listening by the way of internet, YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk, say Shabbat Shalom to you all. And praise Almighty Yah. Truly, there's no doubt in my mind, the only reason you're tuning in is because your fear towards Elohim. Again, Shabbat Shalom to all of you all. Hallelujah. Everybody feeling good? Hallelujah. And we want to continually send our prayers out to everyone that's sick and wounded and had their ailments. Praise Yah for our beautiful elder Eliah, who's in recovery. I think he just came out the hospital. Is he out?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Very good. We keep praying. And if you hadn't reached out to Sister Glory, reach out to her and the family, because they know that we have them in our prayers. And but you never know what people might need. So if you can call and just check on them, it'll be good. And when they get home, we can be able to help them a little bit more than even in the hospital. Hallelujah. Also, if you all don't mind reaching out to Sister Yael and her family. Her grandmother passed the other day. And so we send our condolences to them. I think it was yesterday, as a matter of fact. And so be good to reach out to them as well. But of course, if you have loved ones in the hurricane areas, please let us know that we can pray for them. And we're praying for them anyway, anybody in those areas. I know my family was. And so they left Florida and went to Atlanta. So but now they're talking about it's going to hit Atlanta.
Yeah.
So you just...
You can't run.
Yeah,
you,
yeah. Get you. The Almighty wants you. He got you. That is the truth. That is the truth. Trying to make sure I had not forgot anyone. But if it come to me, I'll make sure we pray for him. And our other elder doing good, right? Sister Couture, she's doing good. All right, Sister Couture, praise Yah for you. Holler at us. Holler at us. And well, Yakira always here. She's not sick, though, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, she is? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. We'll pray for Sister Yakira. I didn't know she was sick. All right. Okay, Deborah's mother. All right. Yeah. We're going to definitely pray also for everyone. And may Yah heal everyone, give them speedy recovery. We'll talk about that a little bit, about sicknesses, disease, wounds. A lot of wounds are internal rather than external. Matter of fact, most wounds are internal. And a lot of times you don't even see the internal wounds, but they there. Before we get into our lesson today, of course, we're going to be dealing with another one of Yah's signs, seasons, days, and years. Y'all been enjoying everything in the program? Caught up on everything? Or are y'all behind? All right. All right. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think all our weeks be rough, and then we're glad to. And it's good. I'm going to show you why that's good. Any questions on anything or comments on anything before we get into our lesson?
Well, praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to give all honor and glory to the wonderful Israel of Yah by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shabbat shalom to you, Moray.
Shabbat shalom.
I wanted to ask you this question last week, but we were in a different congregation. But I had a few questions. In Psalms 119, 111, the scripture says, your witnesses are my inheritance forever, for they are the joy of my heart. So my question is to you is, how many witnesses are there? Are there four or more? And you don't, I mean, if you can, you can let me know next week or whatever. But my other question is, how many times does Yah say, do not forget, the words do not forget in the scriptures? I need to know that. I don't know if that's the same thing as remembrance, but I've read in Deuteronomy 25 what Yahweh says, do not forget.
Yeah, I think there's a tad difference between do not forget than remember. That's like, man, don't forget to pick me up. Man, I'm for real. Don't forget to pick me up.
Okay. Yeah, I need to know
rather
how many.
Rather than remember to pick me up. Yeah,
okay.
When you're saying don't forget, you're kind of talking to a people that generally forget.
Right. Because I know in Deuteronomy 25, he was just telling us don't forget.
Right. There, and there's various scriptures that literally tell you not to forget.
Okay. I need to
and
know
so,
though.
Yeah, we'll study on that and look. And then I'll study on the witnesses. I have numbers in my head on the witnesses. Of course, as you know, we taught a lesson over a course of a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yah, seven witnesses.
Right.
And so depending on what we're speaking on, now if we're speaking on just general witness, then that I'll study on. But I do have a number in my head, but I just to make sure I'll look at it a little bit closer.
Okay. Now this is the last one for you. I'm dealing with the mount.
You said something about songs. What was that song?
Songs. That was 119, 111.
What again?
It says so your witnesses are my inheritance.
Oh, okay.
Forever.
I got you. That was the witness question. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Now this last question is dealing with the mountains. The only reason why I'm hitting you like this is because I wasn't able to talk to you last week.
Right. Right.
So praise Yah. So this is dealing with the mountains. Like we know in Genesis 8 and 5, I asked a question about when were the mountains visible to people, and we found out it was the 10th year, first day.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Not the 10th year, but the
10th month. I mean, 10th month, I'm sorry. Okay, so my question is Israel like precious stones to Yah that's in the mountains? And also, in Ezekiel 28 and 13, why did Yah say that the precious stone was our covering?
All right.
And then my last one is, so Yahweh's glory, right? He sits on the mountains. So does his glory give the stones the colors, the rare stones their colors?
That's an excellent question.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of course, all these things I just had to study a little bit closer to just be frank and honest. Because that's a great possibility. Because the stones are all different colors. And one of the things we definitely have to do and study and learn are the true colors of the stones of the breastplate. We know the order, but we need to know the true colors. Because we can't let other people teach us. As y'all know, we've been doing that, and it hadn't been turning out good at all. Matter of fact, we hadn't learned nothing right from other people at all. Nothing right. And so, so as far as the colors, we will, that's some we'll study. As far as the mountains are concerned, that's something I already had decided to study on, because there's mountains that's holy. And there's mountains throughout the scriptures the Almighty himself deal with. And so there are certain things we need to know about the mountains. Moses went to one mountain, and Almighty said, take off your shoes, for you standing on holy ground. So we will deal with that and talk about that. And I'll let you know about the witnesses and everything. So all your questions, I got to study. I got to get prepared for you.
So you going to work already?
Yes.
The
mind,
that was
too big. Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah, that is true. And, of course, the 12 tribes of Israel is a witness. The Almighty said David is a witness. Yeah. He said, and he said, heaven and earth is going to witness against you. So, yes, we, but I'll let you know. I'll get that number in my head. And we'll talk about these witnesses. And what is a witness? A witness is someone that can establish the truth. It's a testimony against a particular thing. That's what a witness is. And Yah deals with witnesses. He loves witnesses. You can't even do none. You can't even establish none. The Almighty said, if one man rides against another man to stone him or kill him or do anything, the Almighty said, that man shall not die unless it's at the mouth of what? Two or more witnesses. So you got to search this thing out. In other words, he can face judgment, but he can't face the judgment of death. Unless there's at the mouth or two or more witnesses. So witnesses are important. So if you know a witness is really that important, then just imagine what a false witness is. A false witness is just as bad as important a witness is that's right. So, yeah, we'll talk about witnesses. In general. And yeah, and the color of the stones is real important. Everything Yah do is important. It's you know, it's very significant. The Almighty is not going to give us various, because all a sardius, a sapphire, a onyx, a emerald, a diamond, all these various stones, they really, their names come from their color and what they are. And so we got to find these things out. And we can't let other people teach us. So I see a lot of these breastplates, and they all wrong. The order's wrong. Everything's wrong about it. I hate even looking at a breastplate today because they so wrong, you know. Any other questions? Excellent presentation by Natalie. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, and we did have another question. Brother Mesa, he asked a question about his question was about Simeon and Levi, about what happened. You'll see it in Genesis 49. Genesis 49 actually references it. In the fifth verse. Whoever didn't put water up here for me, I appreciate that. Because I probably would have drunk some, and I'm fasting, so I probably would have drunk it, so I appreciate that. Because I'm looking for the cup, which is terrible. Go ahead.
Genesis 49, verse 5 reads, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, my honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their safe will they dig down a wall.
Yeah, in their safe will they dig down a wall. In other words, and read the seventh verse.
Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Yaakov and scatter them in Israel.
And if you don't know the story about Simeon and Levi, they were amongst the inhabitants. Anybody know who they were? The people they were? It was a, yeah, that was the city, but who were the people? Yes, they were one of the Canaanite nations. And of course these were people that of course, as you all know, the Almighty end up kicking out of the land. And what happened is the daughter of Jacob was out, Dinah, and one of the princes of Shechem, he actually, please, yeah, he was the son of the king, yes, yes, and he seen her and instantly fell in love with her. Have y'all ever did that, just seen somebody and you just, raise your hand, I just want to see this. Who seen somebody and instantly fell in love with them? I just want to see. Nobody? I'm the only one? See, now we got some hands going up. Raise your hand again. I want to see this. All right. They instantly fell in love. Yeah, I did too. I've seen somebody and I instantly fell in love with them. It was terrible love, too. It was embarrassing love. For me, it was the Most High. I don't know about y'all who it was, but this is what this guy did. But then he did what the heart typically do when it falls in love, act crazy. And he raped her. But he loved her. Or did he? Go to the mic. Oh, bring the mic to the sis because she's burning right here because she knows she can just relate to this particular story. She can relate.
On the subject matter.
All right.
When I did research on this subject matter.
And listen, before you say, I'm glad you did because there's controversy with this subject matter because a lot of people believe that Dinah brought this on herself and they blame her. All on the internet, they say she deserved it. She shouldn't have been out there. It was her fault. You'd be surprised how many people say it was her fault. But go ahead, sis.
Well, when we read in, I believe it is Deuteronomy, I want to say 22. I'm recording, so I don't know if my phone can pull up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In that law about a woman, it was a distinct statement that was made that she needed to cry out. That she had to cry out, and if she did not cry out, is it actually considered rape? That is the question that I have, and yes, it is a big controversy because in this story, we do not see Dinah actually crying out. So it does mention, from my understanding, that he forced her, but did she cry out? Does the crying out justify it being rape? And that's the question.
That's
But what if you don't cry out at all?
I'm the teacher here, y'all. I'm the teacher. Y'all talk to me now. Y'all talk to me. Yeah, see, that's the law. The law says if she's in a city and she don't cry out, then it's on her because she didn't cry out. But if she's in a field where nobody can hear her, it don't matter if she cried or not because you can't hear her anyway. So it's really if she's in a city and she don't cry because then somebody could have prevented it. But the question still remains. You'll read this story in the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter, around there. Or 34. Well, you're right. It's not the ways of the Most High. And you're also right. That's what many Israelites teach. You have Israelites who actually literally teach this. One, they teach all you have to do is sleep with a woman. And two, you have literal Israelites. I heard on YouTube with my own ears, Israelite teachers say, yeah, we just need to, you need to just take you a 13, 14-year-old and sleep with her and make her your wife. You just got to rape them now. Before, because if you don't do it now, well, no, what they saying is, if you don't do it now, they're going to get older and you're not going to even want these women because they're going to be so messed up. In other words, as if the women, they just grow up and you can't deal with them at all. So get them at 13, 14 where they hadn't been messed up yet. Yeah, unfortunately, this is a lot of the teaching. But this is Genesis 34.
Well, on that subject matter, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is a very, very
No, I understand. Genesis 34. Yeah, 34. Brothers, y'all don't hear her talking. I got to get her the mic.
I mean, this is a serious subject matter because we know in other cultures, this is what they do. And if we're encouraging that mindset, we need to be very much more diligent in how we protect our youth, and we need to be mindful on protecting our daughters and their innocence, because a lot of cultures in our Eastern cultures, they are not allowed to their daughters aren't allowed to be out without being escorted with a male relative. And we just need to be more diligent because this is a very serious subject matter on this subject matter.
No, you're right. And but let me tell you about Eastern culture. Some of their cultures are the worst.
And I agree.
If you ever study Islam and what they allow to be done with their daughters, it's real bad. It's terrible. They have no respect for women. And women are taken every day in Eastern cultures. Of course, in Western cultures, it's terrible also. So there's only one culture that's good, and that's the culture of the Most High and the Word of Yah. And the Almighty said, all souls belong unto me. The soul of the Father's soul is the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So I teach my girls the Word of Yah so that they will know. Their armor is the Word of Yah. It has to be your armor as well. And yes, women also need to be protected. Also, and the only way they're going to be protected is that you have a community of righteous people that fears Elohim. That's why that's the very first thing one must possess, and that's the fear of Elohim. Because if they fear anything else during the time of a famine, and we're going to talk about famines, because the famine will come to this land, the very first thing they began to do is start eating their own. And so you'll be shocked what a person will do if they put in the right situation. And that right situation will bring out the beast in those people. Yes, ma'am.
A couple things you said made me have a couple questions. This stuff you just said about the 13 and 14-year-old girls, is that in America that they're saying this?
Yes.
And I was really wondering when you said they might be messed up. What does messed up mean? Like crazy, influenced by television?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. In other words, they have this terrible mentality that most men have a mentality that when a woman raised up, unless they do the raising, she's going to be messed up. And so a lot of times they try to get women real early before they become a lady so that they can just depend on them and listen to them and hearken to them and follow them, and they can control every aspect of her life. Because if you don't know no better, then you can't control that particular subject. And this is how they see. And all you got to do is look on the internet. It's all on the internet. A lot to me, I don't even know how people can talk like this on the internet. I'd be thinking, if
somebody
I said something like
this, jail.
Somebody be at my door, knocking at my door, ready to arrest me. But they talk like this. And I see it, I hear it. And I'll be on internet less than y'all do. Only time I'm on the internet is teaching. In Genesis 34, starting at the very first verse,
it reads, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her.
See, and this is the problem that I hear. She went out to see the daughters of the land, and instantly everybody came out against this woman in criticism, saying, why is she out there? Why she's not out there with her brothers? Why she? It's just like anybody who live, move in another community, and you trying to meet friends and this and that, and they just criticize this woman, and she's just going out to see the daughters of the land. And the first time she get out there, the prince of the city, now you know if a prince would do this, what the other people like, he's the cream of the crop. And watch what happens. He saw her, he took her, he lay with her, and he defiled her.
And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel.
So he didn't. He didn't seem to treat her like no, like the typical rapist, where they just rape you and just go to the next one. He actually loved her. Go ahead.
And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this damsel to wife."
Now you notice what man was this? What was his nationality? Yeah, he was a hit. He was a Hivite. These are people the Almighty cast out of his sight. He said their abominations was terrible. So this shouldn't be surprising to nobody why this is taking place. But again, the Israelites, they blame her. Go ahead.
And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come.
Now, of course, Simeon, all the brothers was mad. Of course, you would be mad. You would be angry. This is your sister, and they defiled your sister like this? And, of course, they were very angry. And so, in being angry, this is what the brothers decided to do. This was their way of getting back. Start at the 13th verse.
And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye be well, be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor, and Shechem, Hamor's son, and the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father.
Now, he was one of the most honorable of the house, and this is what he did. Well, let me show you what happened in the 25th verse.
And it came to pass on the third day.
And here we go with this third day again. Go ahead.
When they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
How many of the males?
And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his sons, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Yaakov said to Simeon and to Levi, ye have troubled me to make me distinct amongst the inhabitants of the land, amongst the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot?
That's the story of Dinah. Now, who all, I just want to see this. Who all say Simeon and Levi was right? Raise your hand.
Well, no. Yeah.
Raise your hand again. I just want you. Even the little guys got their hand up. I don't even know if they understand what I say, but they. All right, who all say Levi and Simeon was wrong? All right. Who don't know, really? Y'all just don't know whether they was right or wrong. Or. All right, let me ask you this. What would be your thought if your sister was raped? You seek Yah? All right, that's good. All right. What if they rape your wife? What if they rape you? Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, just a second. Yeah, we get. This is my thought. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so because of that, they kill everybody. Now, that could have been a judgment, you know, but I'm just saying. And if they were going to kill him, they deceived him first and pretended to befriend him, which is the art of war, you know. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know those people, you know, because I know, like, all of them, you know, they could have sinned already, you know, and that could have been a judgment. You know, that could have been, like, a sinful nation like Sodom and Gomorrah. So I don't know. My answer is I don't know, but I'm letting you know why I don't know.
I get it.
I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 22.
All right. Deuteronomy 22.
Now, it reads.
I hope you're listening, Brother Mesa. You started this. Deuteronomy 22.
Now, the scriptures does not imply that Dinah was a virgin. But we're going to suggest that she was, perhaps.
Oh, she was a virgin.
Okay. So we're going to say she was a virgin. So in verse 28, it reads, if a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lie with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all the days of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And a man's father shall take. Okay. So he could have married her and given the father the money, the shekels of silver. So I think that he was, Simeon and Levi was wrong in their assessment of the judgment that I guess Jacob was going to make with the Hivite.
All right. Elder Ephraim?
Yes, well, she just read that if they were the same nation, but these are not the same nation. This is two heathens, well, Hivites or Canaanites. and she's Hebrew. You don't mix seed like that. Once you go across that line, you rape that girl, you're in trouble. And sin, the penalty for sin is a rape, is death. And that's what they got. Now, Joseph was afraid that... Jacob was afraid that if they would come team up on him, beat him up, and kill them. So what Levi and Simeon did was take everything that they had, so they don't have a chance to do that.
So I think the other brother just took
them. Right. Just take everything they got. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Simeon and Levi was wrong for what they did. Because one thing is, you know, Hamor and Shechem, they wanted to make leagues with the Israelites, with our people. You know, this marriage was bringing in. He said, listen, you know, once y'all let y'all daughter come to my son, then we can just make this a thing, you know, and your people be my people be yours, and we start, you know, and the Most High didn't want this. We see who this nation was in the future, that this wasn't a good people. The Most High didn't want this. And all throughout history, you can see people will go to war over just one woman. That's why Abraham lied and said, listen, this is my sister. And they knew if they would have refused Hamor and Shechem's request, these guys would have tried to take her by force. That's what I feel that would have happened. So you can't just go in and kill a prince and then leave all the men to come back and fight you. No, if you're gonna kill a prince and a king, you got to take all the men out. And that's just what it was, you know.
Well, I think they was wrong for what they did because in Deuteronomy 22:25, it say, but if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field and a man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. Oh, yeah, she wasn't betrothed. Dang.
Yeah, she wasn't betrothed. And then also, we can't make them accountable for a law that didn't exist when they were at their time. They never received this law that y'all reading. They never received that. What I look at to determine whether they were right or whether they were wrong is by the judgment of their father. Their father didn't like it, and he didn't like it for a good reason. And it was cruel. And they didn't just deceive Hamor and Shechem. They deceived their father and everybody else. That's why it was just them two. And so what they did was very cruel, and Jacob didn't like it. However, I do believe it was the Most High who made sure they didn't have this unity. And he wanted this breach to take place because the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, these were powerful people. They were a powerful nation of people. Matter of fact, the Almighty said it was seven nations greater than Israel. And but they were very wicked people, and they were uncircumcised. So I can see why they, as Naphtali said, I can see why they thought they had to do what they had to do, but it was just cruel. And when Jacob went to bless them, he mentioned their cruelty. And so what he did what any good parent would do, that know their children. You and you, y'all got to stay separate. Y'all can't play together. Y'all can't go to school together. Y'all can't do nothing together because I know what y'all do together. Well, I can't go to the store with him. No, no. Send your big brother to the store with him because y'all two, and that's the second and the third born. And so they were divided in Israel for a reason. And that was because of Jacob, and that was because of their cruelty. They got together, and their mind just went to town. But I can understand it. I mean, who can't understand that something like that happened to your sister? All you got to do is keep, that's why the scriptures say false balance is an abomination. All you got to do is put yourself in that same predicament, that same situation, that same moment, that same time, that same space. And somebody come knocking on your door after your daughter get home, after your sister get home, and she tell you what went down. They knock on the door talking about, yeah, I'm the one took your sister and I really want to marry her. Of course, before he say the word marry, his teeth probably be out of his mouth. So I can just understand their cruelty, but it was cruel. We just got to say it was cruel. And Jacob thought it was cruel. And it was cruel. They even faked Jacob out. He said, oh, man, what? He coming to the city and everybody dead. So it was bad.
Right.
Yes, sir.
My question is, can you...
Can we get the mic? Somebody got to do the job for Abraham. He on the phone. He doing everything. My goodness.
My question is, Moray, is, I mean, can they share innocent blood? I mean, can they shed it? I mean, do they suppose even, they shouldn't even went their route?
Well, they wasn't innocent.
I mean,
I
won't
raped,
say,
they,
okay,
they
well, not innocent.
Sister, yeah.
Well, I would say this then. What about this?
No.
Before you do something like that, I mean, it's not our blood to shed anyway, right? Because we didn't give it. So wouldn't the first thing they should have did was just, you know, sought their father and seek the Most High?
Well, yeah, they did some deceit stuff. Yeah, that's why I'm telling y'all they were wrong. The scripture says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. So you don't just conjure up something in your own mind and do it. But we can understand the nature of the situation. See, the thing is, don't make all the people that didn't touch Dinah innocent. They was ready to get together so this marriage can go down. In other words, it's just like Achan. When Achan, during the time of Joshua, stole that Babylonian garment, you know who got sucked in the ground with him? His whole family and everything he owned. And some people say, well, why his family? Well, because they could have just went on and told it. They could have went on and just said, look here, look, this is against Yah. This brought a curse on Israel, and I don't want to be a part of this curse. I'm not going to be a part of this curse. They could have told him and convinced him, either you tell or we tell. But we got to tell. Do not bring this curse on us. But you know what they did? They were silent. And being silent, see, Yah know everything. You can't hide nothing from Yah. So and once you know that, you can go down with the ship and sink, or you can save your life.
Did they have judges back then at that time that they were going through right then and there?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had sought the judges?
Oh, well, who were they judges? You're talking about the king's son. This was the king himself. This was his son. So you can't get no higher judge than that. Yeah, like Natalie said, they probably would have just took her. This guy was in love with her. He loved her, but in a weird type of wicked way. just like a man. I love you, baby. Well, why you block my eye?
Hey, and then one more thing to point out, because, and I was saying this when y'all was reading, when they came and slew all the males, while they were still hurting, they had just got circumcised, and they slew all the males. They took Dinah from the house. They had Dinah. So it wasn't like they was respectful. Like, look, this is already going down, really. We just trying to be nice about it and honorable about it, but she was already in his house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they just weren't going, they weren't going to allow this thing to go all the way down. So. And I didn't bring out, because there's, y'all had to study this. There's other scriptures on this thing. So I just did the quick version. But go ahead, Elder.
Didn't the Most High tell us not to give our daughters to these people and not take their sons for our daughters?
Yes, he did.
That's why.
Yeah. You know, in the case of Jacob knew this, because when he left his house, he was told not to go that way. So, yeah, Jacob knew. Yeah. But see, this is why a lot of people blame Dinah, too, because they say, look, why is she going? She know the inhabitants. Why is she just wandering out? And she know the inhabitants. That's like being in certain communities, in a black community, you're just wandering out. And next thing you know, why are you out there? So that's why a lot of people blame her, because they say she shouldn't have been out there just by herself, defenseless. And they knew these inhabitants. These were the Hittites. So she get blamed. I'm not one of the blamers, though.
But see, is it my turn?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This occurred tremendously long before the children of Israel went into the back into that land,
mm-hmm.
and were told to avoid these people. At that time, you know, those edicts weren't in place. And so I'm wondering, this guy, he was supposedly the most honorable, and I guess he was honoring her, because instead of just raping her and I guess just leaving her, he just wanted to marry her, you know, which does show that they definitely had some social imperfections in their, you know, in their whole setup. But I guess I'm just really wondering about what Dinah knew, you know. You know, comments have been made, well, they knew the people, but, you know, did she really know the nature of those people? How could she know it? You know, those are, you know, conjectures, I guess. I don't think that she would have gone. No young woman would just go off, you know, by herself into danger. And, you know, she's got all these brothers and a dad and whomever else, you know, parents, you know. Nobody's just going to let their child go into danger. She, you know, doesn't say that she was disobedient and that she went against, you know, instructions from her parents or advice from her older brothers. It doesn't say any of that. You know, it sounded like she was just taking a walk to meet some other young women so she could have some friends. You know, so I don't see the warnings. You know, I don't see evidence of the warnings at this time. So, you know, if you all know where they are, I would love to see them. Thank you.
Go to the book of Genesis 27.